Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. It's a special St. Patty's Day Satellite Sisters podcast. Not really. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Pasadena, California. I'm with my big sister, Julie Dolan, in Dallas, Texas. And Julie, this just kind of worked out for our life and spring break schedule, right? This slot
right,
on Thursday.
Right, but it's great, Leanne. I don't know how many shows we've ever done on St. Patrick's Day. A few. But this is a great thing, and I think it's timely. And happy St. Patrick's Day back to you.
Remember that time we talked to Dolan's Bar in New York on St. Patrick's Day? Remember that? Dolan's
Okay.
Pub?
Well, as it turns out, Leanne, I have some thoughts about St. Patrick's Day. I'm a little worried about it as a holiday, and we're going to talk about it today.
All right. We have a full show. We have no TV recaps. Of course, as we know, Downton Abbey is over, and Madam Secretary was on a break this week. So it's just going to be the sisters. It's just going to be pure sisters. But we are covering the news. Of course, kind of stunning, shocking news out of North Korea. Story we talked about a couple weeks ago about the college kid that was detained after what basically was criminal mischief. And boy, was he detained. So if you're the type of parents who drive your kids to toilet paper other people's houses, please stay tuned. We have a story for you. Julie, I want to tell you about what successful people don't do with their body language. Okay, we're going to have a little body language lesson from Forbes magazine.
I love those, Leanne, you know, because they're easy, you know?
It's not complicated.
That's what I like about body language. It's just a topic. Oh, yeah, I can stick my hand on my hip. I can do that, you know, whatever.
Okay. All right. Julie, apparently you fell for something you saw on the interweb. What was it?
I know, Leanne. I fell for it, Leanne. Okay. You want to work out? How about housework? Okay. I fell for it, Leanne. Okay. We're going to talk about it.
All right. Upcoming story on adult dorms. Looking forward to that. I would live in an adult dorm in a second, I think. And then I want to tell you about my trip to Washington, D.C. It is, once again, life imitating art, where I will be visiting with this actual Secretary of State while I'm there.
You've got to get a good blouse, sister.
No, that blue dress. I'm trying to hunt down that blue dress Madam Secretary wore a couple weeks ago.
I looked for that online, Leanne. It wasn't out. But we've got to get some more. You got to do some deep research on that.
Okay. Well, we'll discuss. I want to tell you about my trip to Washington, D.C. for the International Women of Courage Awards. But first, Julie, St. Patty's Day, you know, green beer, people wearing leprechaun hats. I don't understand this. I guess because we are from an Irish family, when I see people like drinking margaritas on St. Patty's Day, I get confused.
All right. Well, Leanne, I'm a little worried about the holiday because I think it's an important one. I think it's very important to celebrate our Irish heritage. There are 33 million people that claim some kind of Irish heritage. I think it's a good thing. But here's the thing. I think St. Patrick's Day is kind of losing its way. You know, here's my market research that I did. I went to our local store, grocery store, which is called Tom Thumb, which is a funny name for a grocery store.
It is.
But it's the Safeway chain. But for some reason in Dallas, they call them Tom Thumbs. Okay. So I'm in Tom Thumbs and I'm looking at the holiday decorations and it's all bunny rabbits and Easter eggs and like squeezed over in a little corner is like a green sparkly hat and a couple of shamrocks. Okay, yeah. It's bad. Okay. I think if we need to reimagine, re-engineer St. Patrick's Day, it's clearly this year being squeezed out by Easter, but there's, you know, it's in March.
I like how you say that, squeezed out by Easter. Some people feel Easter is pretty important, but you're right. Easter is coming on. It's coming on strong.
Killing St. Patrick. Easter is killing St. Patrick's Day. Okay, so let's just break it down, Lee. Let's first of all start with the food. Corned beef and cabbage, that's the traditional meal that you eat on St. Patrick's Day. Our mother used to make a delicious corned beef and cabbage. Delicious, okay? I love corned beef, okay? But let's talk about the cabbage, okay? You know that is a gas attack waiting to happen, right?
It is.
It is. And so I think a lot of people don't even want to approach that as a meal because of either the cooking of the corned beef or the smell of the cabbage. So dare I suggest corned beef and kale? I think we need to like We need to like upgrade the food because that's key to a good holiday. Okay.
Yeah.
When you think about Cinco de Mayo, okay, that was not a big holiday. It is taking over market share from St. Patrick's Day. Okay. Because they have good food, right?
Right. They
Excellent
do.
Food, okay?
That's when you should be having the margaritas and the
you
tacos.
Got the margaritas, you got the guacamole.
Yeah.
So we need a new green vegetable. And you know, I don't like kale, but I thought that might appeal to the millennials that, you know, if it was corned beef and kale, maybe they'd go for it.
Or zoodles, zoodles, maybe those zucchini noodles from
okay, Leanne.
Corned beef and zoodles.
Okay, beef and zoodles, that's good. Or here was my third idea.
Yeah.
Is to actually make a corned beef taco.
Okay. Okay.
Corned beef,
oh,
cabbage,
you're in. That's
put
good
it in
thinking.
A potato skin.
Yeah.
Corned taco. Okay. We need to really upgrade the food. Okay. Now, the second thing, let's talk about the activities associated with St. Patrick's Day. You have the parades, okay, which are very good, but many of them are not inclusive, Leanne. And it's not fun when parades are not inclusive, okay? So that.
What do you mean? That you have to be like a cop or Irish?
No,
to play the bagpipes?
A lot of times they've had problems where they didn't want gay
marchers,
okay? Not inclusive,
okay.
Not fun, not good, okay? That's got to stop. All right. So we got to get the parades. But then the other big thing is like just drinking. Okay. That way and getting drunk and then getting sick after getting drunk.
People like that though, I guess.
No, it's not good. Okay. Guinness is fine. Guinness is fine. But again, we have to appeal to the millennials. Okay.
Right.
If we lose this generation, they're not going to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Okay.
Yeah.
So they like cocktails, Leanne, right?
They do. They like a craft cocktail, whatever
so
that
we
is.
We need an Irish cocktail, okay? We can't just have shots of whiskey. That's not good. Maybe a gimlet because that's green, okay?
I didn't even know that. Holly, the only green drink I can think of is that disgusting creme de mint.
No, we can't. That will make you sick. That will make you sick.
Okay.
That will make you sick, okay?
Okay.
Maybe whiskey sours, okay? Maybe.
Yeah, whiskey sour. There you go,
How
Julie.
How about that?
Yeah.
Whiskey sours.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we got a good cocktail. We upgrade the food, and then we've got to upgrade the activities, okay? And as I said, the parades, they've just got to be more inclusive. We got to do that. But I also have three suggestions for other activities because I feel like we're not getting people excited about the Irish experience. So now you know how successful Lord of the Dance was, Leanne.
It
was a
very
worldwide phenomenon.
It was.
Why not step dancing parties, Leanne?
I know. Why not?
I think we could do that.
I
mean, people like to dance. You know, we could have videos of people dancing. It's not really that hard. You just keep your arms down and shuffle your feet, right?
Okay. I would actually argue the opposite, that it is very hard. And either you know how to do it or you look like a complete idiot attempting it.
Okay.
So it is a little tricky. It's either mocked or flawlessly executed. There's like no middle ground with
step dancing. But
people
like people do country western dancing.
Yeah.
They do big line dancing. I think that's a possibility. Here's another. I think this is a good idea. What about poetry slams?
There you go.
On St. Patrick's Day. We have some very fine Irish poets. I think that would be fun. I think it would appeal to a younger generation. And again, it's not drinking. So that could be good. And then my third idea, Leanne, is that we actually co-op Earth Day, because that's not really going so well as a holiday either. You know, that's, you know, it's sort of there, but it's not there. But if on St. Patrick's Day, we just started planting a lot of green stuff.
Oh,
don't you think that would be a good idea?
Yeah. You have really worked hard on this idea.
I have. Well, it was so sad when I went to Tom Thumb. It's like, we're going to lose this holiday.
Yeah.
It's going. So tonight I want you to make a corned beef taco, Leanne, and a whiskey sour. Okay.
Yeah.
Do a little dancing. Okay. Put the Lord of the Dance. Just Google that. Put that on and then plant something. Okay.
I was just excited about the Simpsons marathon with all Irish themed shows where of course they mock the Lord of the Dance, but I'm going to watch with a whiskey sour now.
Okay, that's it. I mean, we have to, that's what I think. Okay, with starting here with St. Patrick's Day.
Good work, Julie. Excellent work. Well, sort of along those lines, only because we are Irish and our father went to Holy Cross. If you are looking for a March Madness Cinderella team, you can still get on the Holy Cross bandwagon now. Julie, you know the story. They won yesterday a play-in game. They're a terrible team. People don't even know how they got invited to the play-in game.
I thought it was a mistake when I saw that on my bracketology.
Holy Cross College,
Worcester, Massachusetts? Really?
Yeah. I mean, they haven't won an NCAA tournament game since 1953, which not long after our dad graduated. Okay. Our dad was Holy Cross class of 50 along with Bob Cousy. So, and they did win a national title with Bob Cousy in 1947. They used to be a basketball powerhouse, and then like six decades happened. So,
it's their time, Lynn.
Yeah, it's their time. They came out of nowhere to win the Patriot League tournament. And don't worry, because you've never heard of the Patriot League, because they're playing like Lehigh. Okay. Again, fine little school, but not really a D1 powerhouse. And they won the Patriot League, they won the play-in game, and now they go off to Gonzaga to play the University of Oregon. But they're playing in Spokane. So that's it. Get on board with the Holy Cross Crusaders if you're looking for your March Madness Cinderella team. That would make my dad very happy. So, yeah, and Bob Cousy.
It is a miracle. You've got to enjoy this sweet victory. You know, it's going to last for another six decades at Holy Cross, won't it? They'll be talking about it for the next 60 years.
That's true. All right. Now, Spence, we didn't do the Tuesday show because I was on a tiny spring break. It was really just with my husband. We spent 36 hours in Scottsdale, Arizona.
How is that, Leigh? Scottsdale?
Scottsdale is beautiful. It's an art town. It's in the desert. It's a suburb of Phoenix. There are lovely mountains there. Here's what I would say about the desert, Julie. And I know we have listeners that live in Arizona and live in Palm Springs, and they love the desert. The desert freaks me out. I mean, it just freaks me out because there are a lot of creepy crawly things in the desert, you know, and they're coming at you like from behind cactus, you know. It's just, you can't see them because of their camouflage. And I mean, I was just out walking sort of on a, you know, in a neighborhood near a golf course, just trying to get some mileage in. And there's just a lot of sounds in the bushes. You know what I mean? What is that? I couldn't live there.
You couldn't.
Is it sounds.
The lizards? Is it you just,
they were sounds? Everything from like, you know, birds, which I know don't sound that threatening. There's just a lot of birds. Yeah. There's bunnies, you know, a lot of jackrabbits.
They scare you, those things with the big,
again, they're just
carrots.
Coming at you out of like their camouflage, and then they're in front of you. And then I was going on the walk with the yoga teacher from the resort, and she's like, oh, this is where we saw a bobcat. And oh, there are rattlesnakes over here. And there's all kinds of. And so the next day when I went out alone and I heard all those noises, it just freaks me out, the desert. Yeah.
You were out of your comfort zone.
I was.
You've lost your bearings.
I can't get grounded in the desert at all. Yeah. I'm
you
fine.
You can't relax. You don't love, you know, you can't relax. There.
I can't relax. It's supposed to be so relaxing. And I'm like on guard for scorpions or rattlesnakes. So I know that people love it and they find it very meditative. I am not that person. I was freaked out the entire time. So, but it is beautiful.
But just not for you. So
just
apparently
me.
Just stay out of the desert. Well, other people don't like the ocean. They're afraid of, you know, they're afraid of water. You know, that's another thing. So.
Right. Or the, you know, lakes and woods. That's kind of creepy to people. That doesn't bother me. It's just the desert. There's a lot of things coming at me there. I don't know.
Okay, Lynn. Okay. Well, sounds like a great vacation. Glad you had such a nice time on your spring break.
It was fine. It was nice. It was nice.
Hey, on a much more serious note, Leon, this headlines about the 15 years hard labor in North Korea, you know, in a work camp for the UVA student Otto Warmbier of Ohio. I mean, it just, it is heartbreaking to see sort of the terror on his face, to see how broken he is from this. I mean, it started as a prank, you know, as a stupid prank. He stole a political banner from a restricted area of a hotel. This is the same hotel, the Yangtze Hotel, that I have stayed in when on my trip to North Korea. And he is now sentenced to 15 years hard labor. And in North Korea, it's estimated that there are about 200,000 people in multiple work camps around the country doing hard labor. Yes, Leanne. Again, this is a terrible regime, you know, and it's just completely oppressive. And any sort of political dissent, anybody who gets out of line for anything is sent to these work camps. So that is, you know, he is not being held in detention like in a hotel. You know, he has been sent to a terrible, terrible place. So it was reported today that Ambassador Richardson of New Mexico has been involved, and he is going to be acting as the go-between. He was in Beijing. He was meeting with representatives from North Korea, you know, explaining to him that this was, you know, this was a foolish, thoughtless thing that this kid did, but it was not deserving of 15 years of hard labor. You know, we don't have direct diplomatic ties with the North Korea. You know, a lot of times Sweden, when we went to North Korea, the Swedish embassy was our main contact. They were like, if you get in any trouble or if things happen, that's where you're supposed to try to get to. But, you know, if you get in any trouble in North Korea, it's a lot of trouble. You know?
Right.
And as in this kid's case, he never even, you know, he had no idea. I'm sure that it was that, he would be looking at these kinds of consequences. So, but the, you know, and it's.
It was heartbreaking to see him just break down.
I mean,
in the courtroom. I mean, you remember like a woman at his church dared him to steal the banner. And then she said, if you do it, we'll give you a used car. And that's how he ended up there. But Julie, I was surprised to read that since 2009, a dozen Americans have been detained in Korea. I mean, it's not a it's not an insignificant number now.
No, so, it isn't. It isn't. And it's, you know, so, I mean, the U.S. government, you know, warns you not to go to North Korea now. I mean, and relationships have certainly deteriorated in the last couple of years. So the timing of this is so bad for the student. I mean, just because, I mean, the language coming out of North Korea right now is, you know, extremely hostile. I mean, that they are, you know, they have pictures every week of the, you know, alleged nuclear bomb that they have created. You know, they're sort of ramping up their, you know, hostilities with South Korea. So plus it's our elections right now, too. So I think that adds to sort of, you know, that the United States is sort of more vulnerable. You know, it's the end of the Obama administration. We don't know who the new administration will be. And this kid could be just sort of, you know, people are trying to get him out, which I'm, you know, the Obama administration has said they're working to try to get him out. But it's one of these things where he may just be caught up in like, well, you know, somebody's going to work on it now and then they'll work on it again after the elections. So I just feel so badly for him because you can, you know, because he looks so broken already.
Right.
You know, and, you know, that I can't even imagine how terrible one of those work camps will be because it's a terrible place. And they're, you know, and, you know,
yeah, I heard some North Korean official was on the news and said something about, well, he'll probably just be planting trees and planting vegetables.
No.
I didn't believe that. Yeah.
He said he was broken. He said that, you know, already. So, you know, I am sure he's been subjective to very harsh treatment, you know, beatings. I don't know if they're feeding him, you know, so, he, you know, his conditions will be very, very harsh. And, you know, and so, you know, he looks so unprepared for it too, because that was, you know, he was over there on a tour, you know, he certainly never had any anticipation that it would, that his life would take this terrible, terrible turn. So we just got, you know, it's good that we do have some people that have asked, you know, have acted as conduits that have, you know, been successful. We've gotten about 12 people out of North Korea. So hopefully they'll have some luck with him.
Yeah.
Liz, you know, we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we... We love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
It is a lesson. It does make you think like every, just don't go. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, Would you go again?
I would never go again. I said that yeah. When I returned. As soon as I got to Beijing, China, I said that was the most interesting place I've ever been. And I never, ever would go there again.
Yeah.
So, and I would never recommend to someone now going again. I think it's a much more hostile environment now. And that they're looking for anything, you know, because then they use these incidences to pump up their people.
Right.
And it's, you know, it becomes a giant propaganda thing for North Korea.
I made my 18-year-old watch the news. He's like, why are you making me watch this? He was like physically disturbed watching the kid. I said, because I don't want you to go to a foreign country and do something foolish. Like, just don't ever do that.
Right. Good.
You can't get away with it. It could really, really have dire consequences. So, yeah, that was tough to watch. Tough to watch. All right, Julie, on a completely unrelated note, I have something from Forbes magazine here about body language. So I was drawn to it because the headline, I had to read it a couple times. It didn't really make that much sense. But 15 body language blunders successful people never make. So I don't, wait, what?
These I thought it was blunders. Okay.
These are blunders, but successful people don't make them. They never make them. Okay. So many of them are what you would expect. This is basically the same sort of body language you get from your teenager. Okay. So if, don't do that at work.
Just don't be a teenager at work.
Don't slouch. No slouching. Okay. No eye rolling. No crossed arms, no turning away.
No, wait a minute. No crossed arms?
Yeah.
I mean, people have crossed arms all the time at work. You know, they're just as they're thinking about things, but that's a bad
posture.
That's
a sign that you're closed off, that you're not flexible, or that you're defiant. So eye rolling, crossed arms. Don't turn away from others. That seems obvious. Try not to do that at work. Just turn your back on people. Again, like a teenager. And then, eye rolling, cross arms, turning away from other. Oh, and then checking your watch, like, I got to go. Or your phone, like, I got to go. I got someplace
people
better to be.
People do that all the time.
Yeah.
People do all that. I mean, I think there's so much distracted communication these days where you're having a conversation with someone and they're looking down. They're looking at their iWatch or they're looking at their iPhone and they're only half listening to you. Yes.
Okay. Now, these are other blunders that I had never really thought about before. Successful people do not do them, and teenagers generally don't do them. So these are, I guess, blunders adults make. The first one is gesticulating wildly, okay? Okay? Here's what Forbes says. Aim for small, controlled gestures to indicate leadership and confidence. Exaggerated gestures can imply that you're stretching the truth. Did you ever think about that?
I have been known to gesticulate from time to time, Leanne. So.
I think it's like a smoke screen. You know, when you're trying to buy time, you just go, okay, I'm going to smoke screen up here with my hands. I'm going to gesticulate until my brain catches up. But apparently you're supposed to use open gestures like spreading your arms apart or showing the palms of your hand to communicate that you have nothing to hide.
Right. Carol Merrill, door number 3. It's a solid move. She, you know, she's always in command, always, you know, she's smooth, you know, that's it right there. Okay.
Okay.
No wild movements. Yes.
So no gesticulating wildly. No, sorry. Once again, ad camp popped up while I moved the screen. Okay. Here's another one. Okay. Also no exaggerated nodding. Okay. Don't keep up and down. Cause you think it, I think people think it means like I'm engaged, I'm listening to you, but no, according to Forbes magazine, this signals anxiety about approval. Okay.
I'm shaking my head. I agree. I know exactly that situation, Leon. Yes. People do that all the time. I guess I do. I nod from time to time. Yes.
Yeah, I'm a nodder. So this was surprising to me. And also they claim people may perceive your heavy nods as an attempt to show you agree with or understand something that you actually don't. Oh, yes. Yes.
So it's a fake nod.
Fake nodding
because I have no idea what you're talking about. Right.
Yeah. And then here's another one that surprised me. Again, something teenagers do not do. Eye contact that's too intense.
Yes, okay. When you put your eyebrows up. Yes. It's unnerving.
Okay. Eye contact that's too intense may be perceived as aggressive or an attempt to dominate. Okay. On average, Americans hold eye contact for 7 to 10 seconds, longer when we're listening than when we're talking. And the way we break contact sends a message too. Glancing down communicates submission, while looking to the side projects confidence. Ooh. So
You know, at the beginning of this podcast, Leanne, I said, oh, I love body language stories because they're so easy and you can just stick your hand on your hip and you got it. Yeah. These are hard,
Leanne. These are pretty hard. I know.
These are hard. I don't.
Okay.
Well, good thing I can't see you, Leanne. Good thing.
Hey, ho, don't, too intense, right? Because avoiding eye contact, that's no good. But you don't want eye contact that's too intense either. You want to nod a little, but not exaggerated nodding. You want to gesticulate confidently, but not wildly to indicate your smoke screening. Yeah. No, well, I don't know. Successful people must just stand there like Irish step dancers, you know, with their hands to the side. Not, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. All right. Speaking
about it does seem like that successful people have, you know, are just completely controlled in terms of their body language.
There you go. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And focused in, but not too focused. Like they're not looking down at their phones all the time. They're, you know, they're actually, you know, in the conversation, they're actually engaged in listening. So, okay. I guess we boiled it down, Julie. We did it. We boiled it down. Woo. See, it was easy.
You think that? I don't know. I'm really going to have to work on these.
Okay. Another body language thing that hit the news this week was a couple of male pundits telling candidate Hillary Clinton to smile in tweets or on the air after her Tuesday or Super Tuesday. And this prompted a lot of response from women all over the place. Samantha Bee, the comedian, started a hashtag smile for Joe to taunt Joe Scarborough, who suggested that Hillary Clinton should smile more. And here's the thing, men, that word, you know, some men, Joe Scarborough, that word smile is just a real trigger for women because we have been told that our whole lives, you know, by complete strangers while we are walking down the street, busy thinking about other things or worried about other things or, you know,
solving the problems of the world, looking for cures for cancer,
doing mathematics in our head. And all of a sudden, some strange guy will look at us and go, smile. And you just want to kill them. Or I'm sorry, is that just me? I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
It does, my response to that is this, it makes me so angry. I don't know why, you know, it just seems like it really makes me angry. It doesn't make me want to smile, sir.
Right. The perception is that we're just supposed to walk down the street like smiling idiots all day long. Like, I don't know. So Joe Scarborough was surprised and tried to defend himself by the backlash that he received from people. Uh-huh. But here's the thing, Joe, you said it once, but we've heard it our whole lives from complete strangers, and we're not interested in smiling for no reason for some strange man. Is that fair? Did I do that? I mean, I don't want to put words in people's mouths.
I think
but...
you speak for the womanhood. The women's nation with those comments.
Yeah, so. We'll smile if we want to.
We'll smile if we want to. That's exactly when we want to, when we're happy.
Okay.
And we'll feel good about it too, right, Leanne?
Yeah, we'll be happy, so we'll smile. Or whatever. Or we'll just smile because something has amused us, not because a strange man has told us to. Okay. We'll smile when we're happy. I got it. When
all right.
We want to.
That's good. I'm sure he won't say that again, Leanne. I'm sure.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. Prose isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So Prose, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, Prose. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/sisters. And Prose is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Prose.com/sisters. Thanks, Prose. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
He'll probably say it every night for the next 6 months, Julie, because controversy is good for ratings. So he probably will say it again, but we don't have to respond to it every time he says it.
No, we don't. All right, Leanne. Well, I was reading my local paper and I have to say, I fell for it. Here was the headline for this article. Hate housework. Okay, so I'm in, right? Right. That's got me right away, you know, because I don't really like housework. They're like, call it a workout. Okay. Are you ready, Leanne?
I'm ready. I'm going to do it. I'm doing
it. Let's go. Okay. Instead of picking up laundry, what you really need to be doing are proper squats.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
Every time there's some, like a dirty pair of socks on the floor, I want you to squat, Leanne. Get your squats in. Don't just sling those socks. Get down and do a squat. Okay, vacuuming. When you vacuum, do you lunge, Leanne?
You know what, Julie? I got to admit, I do a lot of these things. Because
you do?
I do, because that's the only way I can stand doing the housework, which I have to do, you know, every week. So, yeah. So I do some lunging. I do some squatting. I do consider housework a workout. It's not enjoyable. It's not any more enjoyable, but I try to burn some kcals while I'm cleaning the house.
Okay.
So
see, I don't really like working out and I don't like housework. So the idea that like a housework workout, no, that sounds terrible, but up and down stairs, Leanne, have you added that to your workout? Going up and down stairs a lot. There's your step machine, Leanne. You can do it. Okay.
Right.
That's what you have to do it. Do you realize if you mop for 1 hour, which is an incredible amount of time to be mopping, isn't it?
I don't think I mop collectively an hour in a year. I mean, if you saw my floors, you'd know that's true. I mean, just a quick
mopping. Okay. Now, mopping. But for 1 hour of mopping,
yeah,
you only burn 153 calories.
That sounds outrageous. I can't believe that.
That seems wrong.
It does.
I mean, if you really put your shoulder into it and you could add some lunges, and
yeah,
who knows what, Leanne, I'm sure you could get your calorie count up.
Yeah.
Vacuuming. Okay. Again, 30 minutes. Okay. That's 30 minutes. Okay. Yeah, that would be a fair amount of. But it's only 119 calories.
Oh, that doesn't seem right.
That does not. That is not.
Sometimes
good.
I actually work up a sweat when I vacuum.
Okay. You must be what you must be like. You've got that deep pile or something there going on. Maybe you get more calorie burns if you do that. Okay. This is incorrect. I think this is incorrect. Cleaning windows. Yeah. You know how hard it is to clean windows. 30 minutes of cleaning windows. I'm drenched if I'm doing that. They say you only get 137 calories for that. That's not right.
No.
Okay.
They must be taller than us, so they don't have to reach as high. And then go, gosh, I got to get the ladder because I can't reach. Oh, forget it. Okay, I'll get the ladder. Oh, where's the ladder? That's 130 calories right there, getting the ladder for the windows.
Okay, tub scrubbing. This, I think, seems to be your best sort of time calorie burn.
Full body. Is
yes,
it full
body?
Body.
That's 15 minutes. You get 90 calories for tub
okay.
scrubbing. Okay. But obviously you're scrubbing pretty hard.
Yeah, you must be. Yeah.
I read this article and I came to two conclusions. I'm not going to do any more housework and I'm not going to do any workouts. Because this is a total sham. This is just doesn't make you want to do either thing. Okay. I mean, if you got 500 calories for mopping, then I'm in,
yeah,
right?
Right.
But 153, that's nothing, right?
An hour of mopping.
I want you to try that, Leanne. First, just try to mop for an hour. That's a long time.
It is. I do, though. If I really, you know, I have had situations where I've done housework one day and woken up sore the next. I mean, I'm not too proud to admit it. Sometimes I find vacuuming a very unnatural motion. I know. That has resulted in like shoulder issues and leg lunges. I don't. So, okay.
Well, all right. I say I think the workouts should be in the gym. And I just, I don't know. We got to do our housework.
I would rather garden. Gardening is a better practical workout for me. Than cleaning the house. But the truth is you have to clean the house. So
I know.
It's just terrible.
But now you don't feel any better. Like if you're only getting 90 calories.
No, I wish you hadn't done that story.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Now I feel terrible.
Okay. All right. Well, I have something else that's going to make you feel happy, Leanne. It's Tuesday. I mean, well, it's actually Thursday. But I thought I had a Tuesday trend that I thought in particular you'd be interested in because your family likes all things real estate, and this is a real estate trend that I had not heard of, but I am sure it's going on in your hometown of Los Angeles, okay? This is the new thing, adult dorms. Hmm. And this is happening in cities like Los Angeles, in New York, in San Francisco, where you have a lot of young people that are moving to these metropolitan areas to get jobs, and they cannot afford the rent. The rent is just too darn high. So now companies, real estate people doing real estate things, they are creating.
They're called developers. Yep.
Developers. They are creating something called a co-living product. Okay. It goes by the names like We Live. That's all one word. With a capital W and a capital L, We Live, or Open Door, or Common. And the idea is that you would have, like, you get a bedroom, but then you have a kitchen area, a common lounge area. You may have additional amenities, like maybe they have like a pool or a deck associated there, and that the rents in these places where for a studio apartment that may run you $2,000 a month in these high-priced cities, you could live at We Live or Open Door or Common.
Don't be a hater. Come on.
No, I'm not being a hater. Just these names crack me up. We Live. The rent is more like $1,500 a month or $1,600 a month. It's not, it's still not cheap.
Oh, that isn't cheap.
No, it isn't cheap, but it is a new model of living, really sort of targeting people between the ages of like 25 and 35, single people, you know, that, you know, it's just too expensive to have an apartment, and that this is another way that they can move to these high priced areas.
Here's the thing. My husband has always wanted to do something like this because he felt like, you know, when he graduated in his 20s, he would have moved right into a dorm. Like, again, if that was a possibility because of the food situation, do they have a food service?
Well, it depends. Some of these do. Some would have some kind of concierge, or, you know, you can sort of call, you know, call in for food.
Okay.
So they do have that. They would have cleaning is available. You know, I don't know if it's a cleaning workout like you were talking about, but these, it's a co-living model that you have. When I read this, you know, I can see the need for it because it is so expensive. I mean, it's impossible as you're starting your career to have to pay that much in rent. I mean, it's crazy. It's really hard. But at the same time, this co-living model reminds me of Russia, because when I lived in Moscow, as you know, Leon, for 5 years, and this is what, when you go to older apartment buildings in Moscow or other parts of Russia, they had a co-living model where people had individual like bedrooms, but then the kitchen area was a shared area, and whatever toilet bath area was a shared area. So it's sort of a Soviet system.
Okay. Oh, that's why there's such disdain in your voice.
You hear it? You hear it in my voice? It's just, but they're just, again, it's these are developers that are trying to, you know, rethink or reimagine the way, you know, young people are going to live, because they can't live the way the baby boomers lived, you know, or even your generation, whatever you are.
Where we just went and got an apartment because they weren't overloaded by student debt.
It's not working. They have to. So it's last week we talked about tiny houses. This week it's co-living, you know. But
I liked Jenny on our Facebook page said, who's kidding who? Tiny houses are just another word for trailers.
Trailers.
She's like, she said, there's nothing wrong with trailers, but let's just call them what they are. They're not tiny
houses. I would like to know if people live in any of these co-living places, if it's working, what are the pros, the cons? I mean, maybe it's a good situation. Maybe it's better than living with your parents, which I guess would be another option, or is it not working? But,
I imagine the challenges are much the same as they were when you went to an actual college with an actual dorm. There's always like one idiot playing his music at 4 a.m. People who don't flush the toilets.
Yes.
I mean, you would hope, you do hope there is something about living alone when you're in your 20s. That's awesome. But it's sad. It is very, very expensive to live alone, as we found when we were looking for places with Brooks, you know, for him in a real city. It's just prohibitively expensive to live alone.
Right.
Forget it. So, all right, Julie. Well
check
hopefully
out
we'll
some
hear.
Co-living. See if any, you know, I think it also could work for seniors as well. I mean, I think that would be a better group to start with rather than young adults.
Well, they have that. I mean, they have senior housing. They have 55.
But they don't have good names like Live. In common, an open door, you know?
Okay.
That's what I think.
Getting a little cranky down there. Do you think you spent enough time with other people or just
me?
Yes.
Me?
Yeah. I mean, you were resentful that the millennials wanted laminate flooring in their hotel rooms. Just getting worried.
Laminate is soul sucking, Leon. You know it is.
Well, not the wood laminates. They're not terrible looking. Okay. All right. Next week, a couple of weeks, I'm going to Washington, D.C. for the International Women of Courage Awards. Now, Julie, you know, I got myself on this committee last year. I belong to an NGO called the American Women for International Understanding that partners with the U.S. Department of State to host women from all over the globe who come to the United States. They're incredible, death-defying female leaders in their own countries. They're picked by the U.S. Department of State. They're brought to Washington, D.C. They visit other cities in the United States for about 10 days to make connections, and they're you're matched with. If you're a nurse treating Ebola patients in Central African Republic, you may be matched up with, you know, somebody doing nursing in a similar area in the United States, that sort of thing. Journalists visit with other journalists, you know, media people. It's a fantastic program, the International Women of Courage. And last year, you remember, we held our event in Washington, D.C., and I went to D.C., we had our event, and then the next day there was a giant snowstorm, and we were shut out of the actual State Department ceremony.
I know,
and
this is tragic.
It was tragic. They shut down the whole federal government. I was there. I had my red trench coat, Julie.
I was so cute, that little red trench coat.
I was ready to go to the State Department. Secretary Kerry and Mrs. Obama give out the awards every year. Then there's a reception in the Franklin Room, and it just never happened. So this year, but it's hard to get tickets to this event. So this year I was just informed I was able to get a ticket. So even though we're holding our big celebration this year in Los Angeles, because that's where the State Department asked us to hold the celebration. So we work with the State Department. So we're doing that. I'm actually going to go to Washington, D.C. for the State Department event. Very excited, Julie.
Good, Leon. Okay. Our Madam Secretary.
I'm headed in. So this year I feel very connected. I just feel much more informed since watching Madam Secretary about what the Secretary of State actually does and the concept of citizen diplomacy and reaching out. And so that is going to be March 29th. And they actually are broadcasting the ceremony. You can stream it online, and I will put all the information up. It's at like statedepartment.gov. You can watch it online this year if you'd like to do that. I'm going to be there. My son Colin is coming with me on the trip to Washington because it's his spring break. And then, Julie, we lined up a White House tour for the next day.
I'm so impressed. I think that's very exciting.
I'm excited. I've never been to the White House.
Oh, that's right, because you missed the family trip to the White House.
Yes.
Everyone in the Dolan family went to Washington, D.C. It was such a memorable family trip. Mom and dad, all of us in the station wagon. But Leon, you stayed home, right?
Yeah, I was left home. I didn't stay home. They made it sound like I had a choice. I remember it was one of my earliest memories, just like falling to the ground sobbing as you all went off to Washington, D.C., but left the four-year-old home, home with the, you know, the au pair, which was fine, but it was traumatic. So finally, Julie, I'm going to get mine.
This is it, Leon. You are going to our woman in Washington, D.C.
Nearly 50 years later, I'll be able to go to the White House. So excited about that. It was the last, you know, we're planning at the last minute. So I contacted our congressperson to see if we could get a tour of the Capitol. Because you can, apparently they can set that up for you. So I don't ask much of my congressperson. But
it's the least they can do for us. They're not doing anything else in Congress.
They're clearly not busy.
Right. There is nothing is happening. Yeah. So they should be giving tours. I think that's a good thing, Leon.
They're all just apparently sitting in their offices, not talking to anybody. So yeah, you're right. They'll be very busy. Very, very open to that. But I'm excited. I'm excited to go. And I'm excited to bring you all the news from the International Women of Courage Awards in Washington, D.C. on the 29th. And then the celebration that we have here for them in Los Angeles on April 7th. And Julie, I've been in quite a lot of communique with the State Department because...
I like how you say communique.
That's what I say, Jill. That's what I say.
That's right. Communication. Obviously, that's State Department lingo. I'm impressed, Liam.
I'm reaching out. I'm touching base. I'm going to be read in. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be read in on something.
Okay.
Any minute, Julie. Okay. Today they inform me they're going to send me a digital toolkit, which is pretty exciting.
Whoa. My head is exploding thinking about that, Liam.
So I'm pretty excited. And I think then I'll just going to come back with a lot of ideas for the Madam Secretary producers. So I'll be able to share those when I get back from Washington, D.C. on our Madam Secretary recap. So.
Now, has your son, Colin, ever been to Washington, D.C.?
They went a couple years ago. My husband and two sons went. I was at a conference. I was at like BlogHer in Chicago. So they did one of those classic Treidler family whirlwind tours where Barrick in a single day drove from like, they had breakfast in Baltimore, lunch at Philly cheesesteak. They stopped in Brooklyn for like a late afternoon snack, picked me up at Kennedy, and then we went to the Hamptons. That was like a single day. Which I haven't all ever right, been.
So this will be nice for you and your son. And it's sort of his farewell tour too, because he'll be going off to college.
Going off to college.
It's very, very nice that you're having some nice mother-son quality time.
Yes. So, and he's very interested in politics and government in particular. Good. So this, I think, will be a good life lesson for him. He's very excited. So I did say you have to get your hair cut. And we have to get, well, you know, he's going to the White House and possibly the State Department. You know, he's got to look good, you know,
yes,
be respectful.
Yes.
And, you know, we're going to get him a decent blue suit and
right.
So he's
and
good
you
to
have
go.
Some, yeah, and you've got to work on your outfits, Liam.
Okay. I have the outfits from last year, but because, you know, I'm going to check the weather, but I think the trench coat again is going to work for me. But I have been looking for that blue Madam Secretary dress. I mean, there's no reason not to wear blue, really, navy. There's no reason not to, right?
Right. I mean, if you look at it, most of the women in Washington wear either blue or red.
Yeah.
Or white. Yeah.
So that's,
so
I'm just going
go
with that.
I think that's your color palette, Liam.
So there, but I'm very excited. So just wanted to fill you in. I'll be keeping you up to date on all our social media channels. So it's just a good reminder. If you don't follow us on Facebook, please join our group or check into the Satellite Sisters official Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter at Sat Sisters. We're the official media sponsor of the International Women of Courage Awards. So you'll be seeing us retweet a lot of the information that we get from the State Department. And, and then keep listening to the podcast. I think it'll be a fun couple of weeks. So
I look forward to hearing this, Liam. That's very exciting.
Thank you. All right, Julie, anything else? It's Thursday already. So
it's Thursday.
Well, you going to go out and just get hammered tonight?
Whiskey sours, Liam. Corned beef tacos. That's it. Okay. That's the new St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. I like you. Okay. Okay.
All right. And we're going to root for Holy Cross. Okay.
That's go Crusaders. Go Crusaders. All right, everybody. Have a fantastic week. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.